In 2002, Rev Lichtenstein delivered a very, very stirring Friday night sicha. Again, those who aren't familiar with the way the sichot occurred in the yeshiva, the Rosh Hashiva, who was there for Shabbos, delivered a Friday night sicha and a shal shir shmuz, and of course a halacha shir in the afternoon. And the shmuz, Matzei Shabbos, was meant to be more of a musar, direct, personal improvement, growth, character, values, whereas the Friday night sicha was meant to be more really philosophical, although it tended to be, but more general, the values of life, the aspects of human experience, rather than personal change and improvement. And I think this is a very, very haunting sicha, one which we all consider very often. And Rav Lichtenstein, I'll try to quote some of Rav Lichtenstein's language, although keep in mind this is all translated. I guess there should be give credit where credit is due. It was translated by Karen Fish, one of the editors of the VBM, and it was written over Matzei Shabbos, or at some point afterwards, by Shaul Barth, a very well-known Talmud of the yeshiva. So it's going through two different indirect transitions, but just to get a sense of how Rav Lichtenstein spoke, even though it's klishlishi already, and klishlishi ain't a bevashel, but and Rav Lichtenstein's Torah is certainly not kalei abishul, to keep the metaphor intact, but let me just give you a little bit of a sense. In Parshas Chayisara, Avram approaches the locals, the Chitim, Ephron Achiti, the local residents of Hebron, and he introduces himself as a Ger V'Toshav Anochi Imachem. Now, Ger V'Toshav, of course, are antonyms. Either you're a visitor, an itinerant, or you're a resident, you're a Toshav. So Rashi already notes this contrast and provides two different explanations. One is that Avram's referring to different periods in his life. He used to be a stranger. He was a guest. Certainly in Lech Lechan Bayera, he was yet incapable of settling into the land. Sovereignty wasn't not yet ceded. But part of the drama and the unfolding trajectory of Avram's success as the Avram Goyim is his ability to strengthen his hold in Eretz Yisrael, from just an itinerant wanderer to a temporary resident in the house of Mamre, from a temporary resident to someone that actually forms a pseudo-city of Beersheba, as I discussed in last week's shiur. It's not his, but it is his, and finally begins to acquire actual legal title in Parshas Chayisara. So Ger refers to the earlier stages of his career, Toshav to the latter stages, and that transition is in and of itself important because now he is clinching his status as a Toshav by actually purchasing land. The second shot, which Rashi provides based on the Medrash, which is also a very, very popular, familiar one, but also important iconically and metaphorically, he says, I'm willing to be a stranger and to acquire it peacefully through legal negotiations. But if not, then I'm a Toshav as promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in many ways, it serves as almost a microcosm for our current situation in Eretz Yisrael, where we'd like to settle this land and advance on this land as not gerim, but as people that recognize the presence of others and live side by side, at least for the meantime. But we can't forget the reality that Eretz Yisrael is promised us and will be ours and should be ours, and vice versa. Those who are convinced and confident that it is ours, we can't ignore the fact that right now we're still Gerim, and that composite of Ger V'Toshav has to inform our action. I think there's a polarization and a radicalization in Am Yisrael, those who feel too confident in their being a Toshav and those who feel too timid in their being a Ger. And this is my own explanation or commentary. Rav Lichtenstein didn't deal with this, at least at this stage. Rav Lichtenstein felt that there could be a third understanding to Ger V'Toshav, one which is more universal, not nationalistic. Either way, either Pshat and Rashi deals with Avram and by extension the Jewish interaction and status, profile in Eretz Yisrael. But as Rav Aaron so often reminded us, many of these statements in Chazal, or many of these psukim, both have a national as well as a universal meaning, and probably the text in Tanakh that best characterizes this duality is Shir HaShirim, where many Rishonim, most Rishonim, like the Ramban, most Midrashim, read it nationalistically as a story of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael searching for each other, Am Yisrael failing, B'nei Amini Charuvi, Altir Nishan Ish Hachoros. And the Rambam and Rav Soloveitchik read it more universally as a discussion of man and man's life and man's interaction with the divine creator. Rav Aaron felt that although the context of Chayisara suggests a more nationalistic read, and certainly Rashi adopts that approach, Ger V'Toshav could be read as a definition of man's existence. And amazingly, Rav Lichtenstein quoted a medrash, and this is where we were just so mesmerized by Rav Lichtenstein's control of Chazal and command of Chazal. He quoted a medrash. It's almost Sfas Emes-like. I know very few people would compare the Sfas Emes to Rav Lichtenstein, but Sfas Emes sometimes just quotes a medrash that it's just off the beaten track, that very few people quote, out of context, and you just are able to see how when you learn and understand Sarit so deeply, you see connections that aren't the familiar trodden path, I think. Many would feel that in today's era, Machshava certainly, and even Lamdas, people refer to it through the phraseology of Yeshiva Shered. There's been an accumulated, the last 150 years have provided such an incredible intellectual burst of Torah in so many different areas that it's created almost a pathway through every Masechta, which Sugyos are spoken about, and where there's Achilles Yaakov, and where there's Rebbe Chanan, and where there's Rebbe Chaim. And sometimes it's a little bit stifling because the Sugyos that weren't written about don't receive sufficient attention, and even the sugyos that are written about is almost as if you're sometimes pigeonholed into a certain view. And certainly many people feel that the world of Machshava has become very shriveled and discusses a very, very limited amount of ideas and a limited amount of topics. And it's important that to be able to break out of that constraining, narrowing of ideas, because it's just not a reflection of the breadth and the sweep of Torah Hashem. So once in a while, Rav Lichtenstein would very often, he quotes the Medrash in Parshas Vayechi while he was describing a pasuk in Parshas Chayisar. The Medrash in Vayechi, I apologize if it's a little loud, I'm recording this in Yeshiva, there's a helicopter flying overhead. The Medrash in Parshas Vayechi quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Ki ger nochi imach, toshav kechal avosai. David HaMelech says, I'm a ger and I'm a toshav, just like my father. So you have that juxtaposition of ger and toshav, of a visitor as well as a resident. The Medrash comments on the word ger, that we are, quoting a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, we are gerim in front of Hashem, ki gerim anachnu lefanecha, kitzel yameinu al haaretz, our days on earth are like a shadow, ve'ein mikveh, without hope. And this is a Medrash that bemoans human mortality, human frailty, we're not even a shadow of a wall that is semi-permanent, we're a shadow of a bird that flies and is transient and vaporizes and dissipates. The Ein Mikveh, no one has any hope to avoid death. So essentially, Chazal saw in this pasuk, in Tehillim, Lamites, Ki Ger Nochi Toshav Kechal Avosai, at least in the word Ger, saw a bemoaning, a lament of human mortality. On the other hand, though the word Ger figures prominently in first, in this pasuk in Tehillim, the word Toshav also appears. Toshav Kechal Avosai. So that juxtaposition for Rav Lichtenstein reminds us, and clearly that pasuk, even though it's mouthed by David, is a more universal tone about man and man's experience. It captures the dilemma, the dichotomy that we all feel. That on the one hand, we're mortal, we have a certain amount of years in this world, we can't escape death. We're gerim, we're just passing shadows. Kitzel over, as we remind ourselves during that very crushing moment in Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah. But as long as we're in this world, we behave as residents, and we sense semi-permanence, we act, we achieve, we create, we grow, we dream, we plan. And now I'll quote someone who wrote down something here from Rav Lichtenstein. So it's a klishlishi, but I think you'll get some of the richness of how Rav Lichtenstein expressed himself. In truth, it seems that these are not two independent and disconnected aspects of existence, but rather two complementary perspectives that maintain an ongoing dialectic. On the one hand, the sense of strangeness in the world imbues a person, my own common gear, imbues a person with constant fear and even despair. On the other hand, the sense of residency causes him exaggerated pride, which ultimately can express itself in heresy, in the denial of God's existence and his control of the world. Here is a, to me, very powerful duality. A person dare not behave as though he is the sole and absolute ruler of the world, with the expectation that he will live forever. At the same time, he cannot allow himself to wallow in despair, sitting passively and waiting to die, neglecting the task entrusted to him so long as he lives. Thus, we may say that in general, a person's life is balanced somewhere between these two points, and so it should be. So Rav Lichtenstein reminded us of this very, very delicate balance, and those of you who've heard enough of Rav Lichtenstein's Torah appreciate how successful he was at highlighting the importance of balance and the dangers of excess in most traits. Of course, in the tradition of the Rambam's Derech HaBeinonis, that every trait has to be modulated and distilled in equity, except for, of course, anger and arrogance, which have to be radicalized and polarized. And we all know that this is at the core of our identity. Some people are so enchanted and infatuated with the appeals and the magnetizing flare of this world that they feel too comfortable and they ignore death and they deceive themselves and engage in a myth of invulnerability and immortality. Some people are so obsessed with their own mortality and so obsessed or attuned to death and morbidity that it's hard for them to not just plan as if I can't plan because who knows what tomorrow will bring, but it's hard to feel cheery optimism, hope, celebrate the beauty of Hashem's world, the beauty of human experience. And a person has to very, very delicately balance between the two. Or as Rav Lichtenstein spoke about, Ger versus Toshav. So you can just imagine how rich this moment was when we were learning Parshas Chayesara, and Rav Lichtenstein shifted the conversation from Avram's negotiations with the Chitim over Chevron to a question that sounded Koheles-like about the stability, permanence, and transience of the human experience. To reinforce this duality, Rav Lichtenstein, and to a degree to resolve it, remember, in the Rav's writings and by extension in Rav Lichtenstein's thought, paradox in the religious experience is not meant to be resolved, it's meant to be sustained, because human life and human religion is too complex to be captured by one trait. It's more often captured by a confluence of contradictory traits. Rav Lichtenstein quoted a Gemara in Brachos to help us not just better distill it, but to offer some degree of not resolution, but some manageability or way to respond to it. The Gemara in Brachos describes a Suda that Rav Hamnun attended, and the Chacham told Rav Hamnun to sing a song. So he sang a song of lament. The exact words of the song were very, very dull. So in response to this request that he sing a song, it was, as we would say in the modern context, the all request hour. So they asked Rav Hamnun to sing a song, and he says, Vailon de Mycenon, Vailon de Mycenon, woe is to man that we will die, woe is to man that we will die. And Rav Aaron felt that Rav Hamnuna, who we would call a party pooper, everyone was excited, it was a simcha, it was the hilula of Mar Berei de Ravina, it was a celebration of a mitzvah, and he doused the party with his soulful reminders of human mortality. But Rav Aaron felt that Rav Hamnuna was trying to reestablish some of the potential lost balance. Parties are very dangerous moments. People become too infatuated with physical pleasure, too celebratory of human life and of human permanence, of the toshav amongst us. So Rav Hamnuna wanted to try to balance that out by essentially singing a song from Koheles, Vailon de Mycenon, Vailon de Mycenon. But the Gemara continues. Amar Amri Lei, so the Chachamim who had asked for this song, who had requested this song, told Rav Hamnuna, Anan manani basrech, how should we respond? So they didn't just ask him to sing, they asked him to lead them in a response, in a chorus. Amar Lei, so Rav Hamnuna responded very beautifully, Hey Torah, the Hey Mitzvah, de Magnu Alan. Torah and mitzvahs will protect us. And presumably, the issue of protection isn't just to protect us from danger or from hazard, but to protect us from the frustration of mortality. The Torah and mitzvahs offer, again, not a resolution, because man is meant to live that duality of Ger v'Toshav, but at least a way to transcend the mortality of Gerus and to encounter Netzach, to encounter eternity, by encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lives beyond time, obviously, beyond human experience, allowing ourselves, by extension, to transcend the vanities of our world and connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I don't think that's meant to eliminate the tension, because the tension is natural to the human condition, it's healthy to human condition. But I think it's meant to offer at least a pathway for human beings to live Netzach. Some people live Netzach and choose to or are unable to live Chayesha. I think a lot of people feel that tug. I think we all should feel that tug. There are moments in which we feel frustrated that our time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be truncated to attend to the day-to-day affairs of Asha. But Hashem wants that of us and from us, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe at Har Sinai, Shuv Alechem Le'alechem, tell the people have to go back to their tents now. Life goes on, and Har Sinai has to end, has to at least conclude at some point. But at least to sense this ladder, which allows ascent or transcendence from the world of Shah, from the world of Gerus, into the world of not just Toshav, but of Netzach. So Rav Aaron didn't just employ the opportunity to describe this duality, but once again, to draw on our Avodas Hashem as, what's the word I'm looking for? A core manifestation of the human longing for immortality. And that was Rav Aaron's strength. I mean, that was his strength. That was one of his strengths. There's nothing unique about telling us to study Torah and mitzvos. There's nothing unique about telling us that studying Torah and mitzvos creates an encounter, a bridge with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing unique about reminding us that the encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to taste Netzach. What was unique is the way he phrased it. By creating that framework that human beings oscillate and struggle and live in this interaction between two opposing forces, and that Torah allows us to adhere to that force that's so elusive in the day-to-day, it lent resonance and it lent depth to an idea which obviously is very simple and very religiously devoted to learn Torah and perform mitzvot, but it, as with everything else that Rav Lichtenstein, there's very little or very few moments with you peel away to the core statement. It was a staggeringly inventive or revolutionary idea. But the context was so lush and was so panoramic, and it lends such magnitude to an idea that previously had just been so obvious. It just created durability and penetrating relevance.